meeting to order. This is our special meeting in the Morris Room on this day, March 8, 2028. We have a special meeting at 4:00, and then we have a budget meeting session at 5:30. Let's all stand and say the allegiance and moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We need to have an adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Ms. O'Brien, second by Ms. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Now we are going into a closed meeting, Ms. O'Brien.
Madam Chair, I move the Nevada County Board of Supervisors to adjourn to a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1 of the Code of Virginia 1958 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, county attorney position.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mrs. Sheridan. We are going to close meeting. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. All right, welcome to our budget work session, Mr. Dahl.
All right, thank you, board members, and thank you, everyone, for being patient with us. Our closed meeting ran a little late. So we're going to go over basically kind of where things are with the budget process at this point. We do have a few changes, and just like the state, we don't have any finalized budget numbers at this point from the state. So there's some things that are a little bit left up in flux. But I'm going to hop on over here, and I don't let Tori drive while I'm up explaining things here. And so let's get rid of this real quick. So let me see. There we go. Okay. All right, so a couple things since the last meeting. So the Commissioner of Revenue has given us some updated taxable values. So the good news at this point, there we go, right up top there. Yep. So the good news at this point is remember the board advertised a real estate tax rate at 86.5. And what that did was that basically preliminary gave this $2 million for the schools, and there was a whole bunch of revenues that gave us at 86.5. Since that point, the commissioner has given us some extra taxable values. Right now we're to the plus by $862,000. Now, let me go down and just kind of slide down, show a couple things here. A couple of things. Again, the 862 was actually a little bit more, not much more. It was I think in the high eights. There's been a couple add-ons in expenditures at this point. So one, we got notification of a workers' comp increase for our modification rate. So that adds about $5,000 to our workers' comp number. Scroll down, stop right there. There's also been a few items. If you remember, the Commissioner of Revenue came to the board to talk about the Vision software program that his office uses for his taxable values. So looking at some costs and maintenance costs, I had budgeted $25,000 for maintenance costs for that program. There's some additional costs in that, but in addition to that, there is some cost that would fall off his budget. So if you see right here in the commissioner, I budgeted $25,000. Above the $25,000, it's about $13,500 in addition annually. But also in the commissioner's budget, he's got about $8,500 we can take away. So the net expense of that is about $5,000 extra as well. And then in addition, there's a software program for the Commonwealth Attorney's Office for some of the work that he uses, and that was about $2,500 per year. So what we did, since the IT department kind of handles most of the maintenance contracts for all departments, So we've added the 13.5 in there for the commissioner's office, plus it was a little over $2,500 for the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. Go down. There was, we actually got an actual request for the actual request for the circuit court judge's budget. We had put about an $85,000 swag because kind of the judge and his new judicial assistant were new, so we didn't get the budget requests when we were putting out budget documents previously. So that's about $1,300 extra in addition to what we've budgeted for. Keep on going down. And a couple other things, there were some small corrections and some small additions. There was a $1,000 correction that what I budgeted for the public works budget, I actually, my proposed budget, I budgeted $1,000 more than I meant to. And then in CSA, there's a small $600,000 increase. Keep on going down. And then again, at the last meeting, what we did is when the board had to set the max advertised rate for, because we have a reassessment year, we put 86.5 in as the tax rate, and then that basically left that $2 million left as excess. So the board, as kind of a swag and a wedge, put the $2 million into the school request line at this point. So from here, right now, we've got $862,617 excess dollars in this budget if the budget were to stand as it is right now. And that's with an 86.5 tax rate for real estate. That's with my proposed $4.15 personal property tax rate. And then again, personal property for business, public utilities, and machinery and tools remains unchanged. A couple things, again, we have not, I've broached the topic with the board previously. We talked about the state comp board. There's requests coming forward that there's gonna be for state-supported employees. Nothing's been approved or passed by the state, but an additional 2%. So I've got the figures in there for what we would get reimbursement from the comp board for that 2% for compensation board and social services. And then I've got what the cost for the additional 2% to give all county employees that increase as well. We've looked at health insurance, and speaking of health insurance, so the schools gave you a copy of their health insurance rates right there. I think they're in front of you. You've got a copy right in front of you. So that is what their health insurance rates. So the county, we received our renewal, and I think before, I think maybe we told you, we budgeted 10% as the estimate for the proposed increase. I only budgeted half of that increase. So basically, if we had a 10% increase, I budgeted for the county to pay half and employees to pay half of that. Our actual increase came in at 4.3%. So what is in the budget right now is, if the board wanted to stay there, is technically covered, but we may want to look at even some modifications to the health insurance rates that we pay as well. So I'm not sure we're going to be able to get to that piece today. We might be able to have some proposals for the board next week. But just looking at a few initial numbers, again, it's going to be anywhere the board, if the board wanted to change some of the contributions, we might be able to save a little bit of money that's in the current budget. Or if not, if the board wanted to pay the whole increase, what we have in the budget right now is more than sufficient to cover that increase for staff health insurance increases. You know, again, at 862, I think right now our per penny, what was it, Tori, 370?
363.
It's with the new 371. With the new values and everything, it's at about 370 now is the per penny value. And then the
nickel was
170 for personal property. So again, 370, I mean, you're looking at what's that, maybe
two and a half cents
is. Let's just say everyone thought the budget was fantastic as is, and you just wanted to reduce the tax rate by about 2.5 down to 84. Well, then the budget's done. There's some things that are still not included in there, but just from a starting point, that's kind of where we are. We've got lots of department heads here. We have the schools here, and we have many others here that can certainly talk on any items. And then, you know, we got the commissioner too. You know, he has certainly given us what are some of the baseline numbers. I think from a real estate standpoint, and now correct me if I'm wrong, real estate is maybe not going to change a whole lot from now until April. I mean, we might get some additional, but nothing major. But we may see some personal property changes.
Yes, sir, that's correct with respect to real estate and personal. Really, both of them are pretty well locked in. The only thing that will change now is additional homes we pick up.
Yep.
So we've given you all that we can, all that the reassessment can as a result of it with the additional half million plus in revenue. Personal property came in better than we had anticipated. Not as high as last year, but better than we initially conservatively estimated. So that's helpful to get that additional $8 million here. Doesn't bring us back to last year, but it's better than we anticipated in January.
Yeah, when Mel gave us the updated numbers, I think we were originally about $1.2 million short based upon our previous tax rate. This added about a little over $300,000. So again, yeah, it wasn't a complete offset for certain. We're still down in our values. So happy to go any which direction the board wants to go at this point. We can plug things in and move on the fly, and the schools are here certainly to talk. That was that was kind of one last minute addition, because when my budget came forward, I didn't have the schools in there. Also in front of the board, and we also have a couple things. So one, at the last meeting, the board asked about, there's a page there in front of you, asked about over the years, what was the equalized tax rate? Obviously, we don't have reassessments every year, and so we have a column that shows through the fiscal years what the equalized tax rate is, what the county administrator's proposed budget was based upon those years, what the board advertised. Again, if it's a reassessment year, there's a column that says BOS real estate. Well, it's real estate advertised. And Tori, why don't you do this? Go scroll down. Yep, hit that. And so, yeah, right there. And then there's a column that says BOS advertised. Again, that is for the whole budget. What did the board advertise? And then what was finally adopted from a tax rate? So I know the board asked for that. And then I know Mr. O'Brien, we did update some numbers. I haven't had a chance to print out the inflation-adjusted tax rate.
Do you have it on there?
We can pull it up, yeah.
I think it's useful for everybody to see that.
So go into go to folder, and I apologize, I didn't hit, go to library, up top.
Oh.
Up top.
Oh.
Nope. Right there.
Oh, right there, just kidding.
Go to finance, go to special reports, up. And then go down to Fluvanna tax rates 1978 to 2022. So make it smaller, please. So again, this was a chart that Steve Nichols created previously, and I know the board wanted to see this. And so this was basically saying, if our tax rate was 58 cents in 1978 for inflation over the years, you know, what has the tax rate done over time? You know, we certainly have years showing when the reassessments is, and we kind of put it in terms of if you bought a gallon of milk in 1978, what the price would be from an inflation standpoint today. And so the green line represents the rate in 1978 dollars, and then the red line represents our actual tax rates over the years.
I just find that chart fascinating, because we always tend to think that our rates are high, but in fact, they were much higher back in 1978 than they are today. Yeah, so I mean, obviously, part of that is efficiencies in government, and that's great.
1978, yeah. I opened a new high school.
No, not in the 78. Oh, the old new
high school where you and I went to.
So that's why you saw that bump up there.
That's where that bump came from. It opened in 76.
76 was when it opened.
And then we saw the bump in 2014.
Yeah.
Well, that's when we didn't reappraise for 6 years. We did or reassess for 6 years. And that won't happen again.
So anyway, you...
I think it's just useful, you know, puts context to everything, that's all.
So again, that's that chart, so you all have a copy of that, so go back to a bunch of balance sheets. So where does the board want to go from here? Where do we want to start off at?
Now, does the schools, they have their state and so forth?
They don't know. We'll put the schools on the spot for what they don't know at this point.
Madam Chair, if you'll indulge me, we have three members here.
Oh, okay.
We need to call in the session. So what is today? Marchie, calling the school board to order. Deputy Clerk, would you mind taking a roll call?
Certainly. Dr. Kelly?
Here.
Mrs. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Key?
Here.
Mr. Poland?
Mr. Rittenhouse?
Thank you so much. I'm so terribly sorry, but just to dot those eyes. So I believe the question was, do we have more information from the state related to the budget?
We don't. We don't have anything new. I really have nothing, no context.
Yeah, the House and the Senate budgets are roughly $1 million apart.
Still apart.
And the indications we have it can be June or July before we have a budget. So that's half of our money.
Yeah, nothing to do about it.
Now, the good news is what you have in your packet would, in essence, be worst case scenario.
Both are more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but both increase state revenue from the governor's proposed, which is what that's based on.
Yeah. So.
What's the increase? What's the difference in the increase?
The whole harmless on the grocery tax.
Fiscal?
Right. Yeah. You said this is the worst case, but there's a proposal by the House and the Senate.
The Senate is $1 million more.
Take a million off right there.
In the packet.
Uh-huh.
It keeps that bonus, the going from the 5 to the 7. Both of them have 7.
So let me phrase it a little differently.
Sure.
Then. If this is our worst case, which is not the House, mm-hmm. right, then what would be the difference with the House, assuming that they adopted the House?
The Senate, it would be $1 million.
So in other words,
the
worst case is the House budget, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Okay, yes.
I thought you said that our budget was even
both chambers.
No.
Both chambers are $1 million addition to what the governor proposed.
Yep. One chamber.
Just one
chamber.
That's why I was asking if they were both $1 million difference.
No, yeah, I can't.
$1 million right there.
Usually
right?
I lay them side by side, and I'm like, well, you know, let me see where the differences are. This one, they're so different that I can't tell you where the middle's going to be.
I'm not asking, this is the House, what we have.
Yeah, pretty much. You have the governor's budget, but that's pretty much what the House has.
And again, so let's just say the board funded what's here. If the Senate budget comes in, really what that means is just additional revenue for the county.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
So, and again, that's a problem right now, too, because the state doesn't have a budget. It kind of puts us in a little bit of a flux, too, just from, again, I'm not sure what, well, let's just say hypothetically, the $2 million for the schools stuck in there. There's certainly things that they would have to reevaluate for what they're doing in the budget. I'm not sure how that would change things. Again, that's them providing a 7% increase for their employees, and that's part of the compensation study too, is a big component of that. And right now in the county's budget, my proposed budget is a 5% increase.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about for county employees?
For county employees, correct. And again, I think, Tori, go down a little bit. Again, I think if the board said they wanted to do a 7% for county staff, it's the expense is another $236, and then go back up. And then the offset for revenue would be 2047, about 60. So take 60 minus 236, so that's, you know, we're right around, what's that? We're right around 180 is the net roughly. Is what the cost would be, and that's assuming that what budgets are approved still has that in there. I can't imagine it wouldn't, but you know, we don't know. We don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And so just remember, next week too, March 15th, the board has to set a max budget for advertising. So again, the budget, so last week we set the max real estate tax rate associated with the reassessment. Next week, we're going to have to set a max budget for advertising. And again, the budget total, that budget number is the high watermark. So if the board wants to add, although CIP doesn't affect the tax rate necessarily, but if there's things, a bunch of things you want to add into the CIP, we need to consider that because that is part of the budget total. We cannot keep on increasing the budget after we advertise something. Now we can trim back.
So you're saying that if we kept the tax rate at 86.5 and 415,
yep,
and gave the schools the 2.6 that they're asking for,
we have 2 million in there right now. So let's just say this right now,
or 2 million
on 86.5, you could give the schools the 2.6 that they're asking for. We have about $260,000 left over there. That's at 86.5.
Well, it'd be nice to hear from some of the other school board members. I know Dr. Kelly spoke last time to hear what their thoughts are, and likewise for any other departments if they want to.
I know John, the chair of the FRA, John Lai, he's got to leave. That John, time you have to leave?
About 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Well,
so
you might as well go first.
So if any.
So the one thing I will say, so I spoke to Chief Mayo, Chief Dwayne Mayo, I think it was this morning or yesterday. So there was a question that was brought up about the Chief One at the last meeting. Mm-hmm. So I spoke to him today, and so he understood that I put $5,000 in there. After kind of going back and forth with him, he doesn't feel he needs the 10.6 that was in there before. But I said, well, what if we put an additional $3,000 above and beyond what I have in there for $8,000? He said that would work from a gas standpoint and things that they want to do. So just go down here to fire and rescue, just as a first piece, and just put Chief One, and just put in parentheses after it, just put $3,000 right now. Nope. Right where you were. Not in that one. Just right after Chief One in parentheses, right after it. So we have the number there.
Okay, so John. Yeah.
And you know what to do.
You finish, Eric, and John can speak.
Yeah.
John.
So I'm here to answer any questions.
Yeah.
I also talked with Chief One, and he's good with those numbers.
Okay.
He can make that work.
All right.
Happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions for John?
Well, it was me who was asking about it last time, and about if we have historical numbers, such as last year and year before,
yeah,
why not refer to those numbers?
And that's where that 8,000 came from. So he sent me, and it's in my Jeep, I forgot to bring it with me, but he's been averaging between 6 and 7,500 for the last couple of years. And so that's why he thinks the 8,000 will work for next year, including oil for inflation.
But couldn't that be shared with the board? Or
yeah, I can send that to you.
That's okay. Yeah. And it's not even so much about you all. It just seems, as we talked about last week, to me the logical path is if one has one number, the other has another, instead of where can we negotiate, which is good too. But in part, if we have historical numbers, then we should all be looking at them, I would think.
Understood.
On whatever the item is,
yeah,
the budget item.
Sure. Yeah, so I was able to get those from him.
Okay.
I forgot to bring them tonight.
So again, I guess since we've got John Lai here, I mean, again, the biggest piece from fire and rescue is from what was requested versus what was in my proposed budget. I didn't fund about $212,000 worth of things. Some things were just insurance items, but probably the bigger piece was probably some operational dollars.
And as far as CIP requests?
So the two big ones in the CIP were the equipment for the fire engine at Fort Union and the UTV and the brush truck, right? I think you were going
to. Yeah, go to the CIP document, please, and go down to public safety. Yeah, so again, I funded.
I'm out of here.
That's not a Freudian slip. I funded ambulance 555. I did not fund. Oh no, wait. Make it one smaller so I can. Go back over, please. So I did not fund Rush 30. I funded Tanker 30 in Kenmore out of ARPA. I funded the fire and rescue computer replacement, which is fire and rescue wide for all the apparatus and everything. I did not fund the 4th Union Fire Company Engine 20 equipment or the UTV. So, I mean, I think go in that cell, please. Mm-hmm. So he was requesting 150 for the equipment for engine 20.
And that's hoses, ladders, that sort of thing to make it operational.
Small adapters. Anything you think of would go on a fire truck.
Did you ever get a chance to look at why y'all are so much higher than Kent Storm and Bellmire in operations?
I don't have those numbers because I don't need to see their budgets.
Okay.
I would have to compare everybody's individual.
Apples and oranges.
Right.
Apples and apples. But that was one question that I had.
And I can answer part of that question. And one of the differences that I shared with you after the meeting last week was I had that question for Chief Pullen because he was quite a bit cheaper. And he told me that he had some other funding sources that he was going to tap into and not ask the county for those. What those sources are, he did not share with me, but that's part of the answer.
Yeah, Chief, I mean, Palmyra and Kent Store from their request.
71 and 68.
We're about 70, like right after
71 and 68.
Yeah.
Do y'all, in FRA, do y'all share each other's financials?
No, not typically. So the treasurers all send them to me and I compile them. It's not a secret, but since they're all part of their Flavanna Fire, that's me as an internal thing, so I don't ask them. That's up to them.
And then, Tori, do me a favor, go back to the beginning piece too, because so right now, in my budget right now, I've got funding using ARPA funding for some, go to the front, very front budget piece really quick and scroll down to the revenue section. And can you do me one other favor? Can you hide rows 2 through 9 so we can see more of it, please? Thank you. And just go back to the bottom of this section right here. Stop right. Nope. Go back up. Too quick.
Sorry.
You're fine. Focus a little bit more. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. So stop right there. So again, under CIP, I funded about $1.3 million of public safety equipment with ARPA funding. I think it was the sheriff's vehicles and some of the fire rescue apparatus with ARPA funding. And then go back up. Stop right there. I have also funded part of the, and I think this was a question last time, and I think I did do a good job of explaining this. So I also funded part of the EMS, part of the new Department of EMS startup too for 1 year. And I remember we talked about this in some of the individual budget meetings with the board. So out of federal ARPA funds too, I funded $876,924 to start up the department, and that was kind of the difference between what we already had budgeted and what additional is needed. The one thing with this is just keep in mind that this would kind of be a one-time thing, so it's something we'd have to look at next year. You know, we certainly have some other things falling off, and I think after a year, we may have a better idea of what happens from the Department of Emergency Services, but I just wanted to just point that out specifically to the board, too. So I'm sorry, Tori, you can go back to the CIP.
Eric,
yes.
I have somewhat of a hard time seeing those numbers.
These numbers right here?
Uh-huh. I think I know I've got some.
Well, you got the sheet right in front of you,
which
too.
Which one? I know this one.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm not following you pretty as close now.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Not
talking
about.
Are you talking about on the CIP specifically, or just on?
Yeah, just numbers. Period. Oh. It's I don't know if it's just me and my eyes, or it's kind of blurred.
Can you say it's hard to see?
It's hard to see.
Yeah, but that's okay. If
make it bigger.
If
make it bigger. One bigger, and then scroll a little bit. No, so you can see.
Anybody in the audience, y'all can see pretty good.
Barely.
I know. My new prescription.
Yeah, I have some new prescriptions. I haven't gotten the new glasses yet. But okay.
So
yeah.
Is that better?
All right, that's
or?
Good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's under the public safety piece. So that's what's funded, not funded. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that the board wants to consider adding back in? That's not in my proposed budget from a CIP standpoint.
Not for me right now.
Okay. Look at schools CIP.
Yep, I'll go down right there. Stop. Okay, so again, I funded the capital reserve. That comes out of the tax rate. I did not fund the carriage growth generator. I did not fund the central bathroom remodel renovation. I funded the division wireless upgrades. Did not fund paving resurfacing. Did not fund FM middle school annex gym. But funded buses and then student transportation.
What was the bathroom where it cares for? I mean, that's central.
Central, yeah. Gee, yeah,
what kind of?
It was $1.5 million.
For it's all of the,
for everything.
Everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And you all could probably speak on how many bathrooms that is. I mean, I could pull up the CIP request. So
yeah, I'd probably need to do that, honestly.
Pull it up real quick.
See what the. I won't speak for that committee, but
go to page 2, please. So the bathroom, this project includes 32 bathrooms, which is 14 classroom bathrooms, 4 boys multi-use, 4 girls multi-use, 5 staff bathrooms, 5 single unit bathrooms. A lot of bathrooms.
A lot of bathrooms. And when you. And what are they calling that? Renovating, updating, what are they calling it?
Central bathroom remodel and renovation.
Okay.
And that's a complete every bathroom remodel. And I'm assuming there's maybe some pipe plumbing stuff that needs to be done besides just the remodel.
All that's in central?
Classroom bathrooms.
I think there's that many.
Okay. That has to be kindergarten.
Yeah.
When
the little preschool.
Okay, 1, 2.
And the longer you wait,
the more you have to go.
Probably the bigger issue of these is the tennis courts at the high school. We've been patching them, but
close that down.
What happened to the tennis courts? Because that's just
you didn't request that. Hmm.
It's on my list, but maybe it's on your list. Sorry,
I didn't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
We didn't get a CIP for tennis courts. No, we got a CRM.
Okay, maybe that's where
we got a capital reserve that came in, but not in the CIP.
Okay.
Yeah. So anything from the schools area that the board wants to add in or subtract?
Maybe that'll be a CRM one day. I brought up last week, and I'll bring it up with y'all here, the middle school track. It needs to be resurfaced, but more importantly, I'd love for us to have a place where the citizens could walk. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've talked to Ms. Dugalinski and Mr. Carter about, is getting that entire track redone, because
it's dangerous.
Right. In the right spots, it's dangerous.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's quite a bit of drainage work that's going to have to be
done. The drainage has not worked for 15 to 20 years.
That's
if it gets a heavy rain, we got a moat. In fact, science teachers, a couple years ago, we had a really wet spring. We're bringing the kids down for science experiments with tadpoles. Seriously. I mean, we were out there, I was catching tadpoles with kids. But yeah, that's
And that's not in the CIP, it's not even on the radar.
It wasn't requested.
Wasn't requested.
Yeah, so it's not requested out from the schools anyway.
I mean, it's something that we can take as an AI, not for this budget season, but to talk about what it would ultimately take to reno that, so.
So is there any other things, Tori, go back up, so we talked about schools, we talked about public safety, again, and like I said last, I think last week or the week before, I funded about roughly half of everyone's requests for kind of each of these functional areas. Again, didn't fund all of the public works projects, funded a portion or some, you know, not at all, like the major paving project. We talked about the historic courthouse restoration, convenience center, and some of that other stuff. Is there anything that the board wants to look at in here?
I think weren't we also about to listen to others who might, like maybe other school board members or whatever who wanted to speak?
I'd be glad to. Capital improvements, I don't have any specific comments, but as far as the 2.6 million and the majority, of course, being trying to be more competitive with our salaries across the board, I am so committed to that, and that is the single best thing we can do for our students at this point in time, that I'm not willing to, if we don't get that money, just say, oh, well, we tried. I am committed to going back in our budgets and reprioritizing whatever we can, because times have changed and needs have changed, and this is something I feel we absolutely have to do.
Thanks.
Great.
So, to that point, if the board said, okay, well, here's $2 million, not $2.6 million, and I understand that you don't have the information from the state yet, what would be some of the things that you would be reprioritizing?
I'm sorry, Mr. O'Brien, I'm not willing to say on that.
I was going to ask the same question.
I have my own ideas, most certainly, but I won't say what my own ideas are. It's a great question, but I don't feel comfortable answering right now.
School board members,
Mr. King?
Just to kind of piggyback what she said, everything also, I think the mental health part of the school is very important. We all see the behaviors the kids are displaying. Besides the mental health, behavioral health, I think that is so important. I think that ideally, hopefully, we could have had got more positions, but you know, we were constricted with the money that we couldn't request. So the mental health is so important that we definitely fund that 100%.
I went back and looked through y'all's presentation, because I apologize for missing it when y'all did it. We just had a fire call. But the one thing I look at, and of course the state, we don't know yet, they're only going up $700,000. We get to flip the bill for the state again with their 7%, because you're asking for 2.6 from us. It's almost $2 million more than the state's going up.
Yeah, I understand that it's an enormous ask. I appreciate the time that you provided me in previous meetings to speak as a citizen and also during our session together. There's a lot here that's just not malleable from the state, and the lion's share of our request is to ensure that we are at base competitive with surrounding counties and to kind of right the ship from what happens between members over time and not a lot of institutional history is that people get left behind. And a lot of what's happening here in this budget is correcting and realigning wages for people who live in our county to make sure that they can remain in our county, remain in our system, and as we indicate, you know, work, play, et cetera, in Flavanna.
And Brian, I know you were trying to say something earlier.
I just want to follow, and just to follow up on what Andre Key said about mental health. Our CSA program right now is... has a budget line we use that for individuals with or children with eligible for special education, we can get community-based services. Normally, in the past, we were spending about $75,000 to $100,000, which is about normal for us. This year, we're about to spend $350,000, and that is because there is a lack of mental health infrastructure in our schools at this point. It is getting to the point now where CSA is effectively becoming the de facto mental health structure for Flavanna County Public Schools. And that budget line is getting to a point where
the state will start to take notice of that funding that we get. It's a small pool that's spread equally amongst all CSA programs in the state. We're using we're projected to use approximately 9% of that for the entire state. Amongst 130 localities that get this funding. So we're going to be a severe outlier unless we can actually provide the schools funding to develop their own mental health infrastructure for their students, which is immensely underserved right now. Thank you.
So I've got two questions, and the main one I was going to ask offline with one individual, but because it sounds almost like a gotcha, but I don't mean it that way at all. And it's probably good to have multiple people from the schools here to help field this. So I was talking to a former Fluvanna teacher end of last week about the budget and what their thoughts were. Pretty, still a Fluvanna citizen, former Fluvanna teacher, now is a teacher in another system. Grew up in Fluvanna. As this person's entire career has been here, very, very bright person. Went to a really, really strong university. And this person said that it wasn't so, in this person's feel of why they left and why there are concerns from other teachers, is that it wasn't so much how much money they were making, but the extent that they felt they were respected as a teacher in an environment where they deal with stuff from children that, in their way of saying it, used to be we didn't have to. And so it was, Chris, don't get too so involved in how much we make as how what we do and say is dealt with from those above us. And so, hey, young man, you can't have that cell phone. Here's the rules. I'm just pulling one small one that came out. But the person also said about a kid who was threatening a physical altercation. And again, this is one person saying it, but saying that nothing happened with that kid as a result of that. So, and I have heard other teachers say some of this, but not to the extent that this one did. Any thought? Do y'all hear that? Or do you? Not asking if you hear it coming from me, do you commonly hear that from teachers within the system that there's a concern about that more than there is pay?
No. I don't hear more than pay. I definitely hear that concern.
Okay.
But I generally hear pay first.
Okay.
Yeah. And I sat down with the lady who does all the statistics on discipline, and with Dr. Stribble for about 45 minutes and got the reports on the discipline problems and how they are being handled. And I felt really good about how the schools were handled. And we know that the discipline is different when you've had kids at home and they're just adjusting. We can't put everything on COVID-19 either. But if you all meet often, you sit down, you talk about what's going on, you make sure that it has been dealt with. I think even at the high school, the teachers can leave a note when they leave the building and say, this is what happened today, this is not what I accomplished, this is left over. And the principal, because I asked the principal, I said, how can you read all these? How do you deal with them? But everybody don't send a note. But they make sure that discipline or whatever haven't done hangover for 2 or 3 days. So unless, and I saw the computer program, I saw the behavioral specialists, how they work with the kids. I felt very comfortable with when I hear what's going on in other school systems, that I thought you all probably had a pretty good handle on it. You have resource officers in every school, and they're doing something other than just walking the hallways. They're working with kids. So
we're hearing that pay is an issue, but
pay is
that,
pay.
But yeah. That people
We got a response that, yes, that has been some of what they've heard also that's a factor in teacher concerns.
Yeah, I don't think...
So, and it, like, I wonder, does anybody else have any thoughts?
I'm happy to speak to it a little bit. I mean, you're bringing up an individual case, which you've noted is an individual, and every single person has their own story. Hypothetically, I'll say it's not uncommon in a small division for somebody to have a negative experience. Maybe they aren't promoted to a job that they wanted to get, sure, or don't, you know, whatever it is. And one of the ways they might respond to that is to talk negatively about the division. I'm not saying that's true of that individual, but that happens. So it's really, it's hard for me to give a standard response to that. I will tell you, what Ms. Booker's referring to are mandatory exit tickets, because we did hear a little bit from one school in particular that just didn't match the data. The disconnect was nothing's happening. We're writing a referral and nothing's happening, but yet the processed referrals and the amount of in-school suspensions and out-of-school suspensions were at a record high. And so what they implemented in that school was an exit ticket. And not every teacher in that school indicates there was an unresolved problem, but all of them have to say there was or there wasn't. And so what we're finding is that that really isn't the case. Those situations are being dealt with. So I don't believe that it's pervasive that teachers would tell you that they feel devalued because of the way they're treated by their administrators. I think that's not true at all. I can't speak to the individual's situation you're referring to, because I don't know anything about it. I don't know the context. And there could be a situation where something happened and they felt like it wasn't handled appropriately.
If I can just add, that just happened to be the last one I talked to. That was Friday.
Sure.
So I didn't mean to make that individual the complete poster child.
Yeah.
But it's a theme I've heard with some others, and then it just was the last one I talked to that I brought that one up. But again, it's good to know. And from my perspective, on one side I go, well, you all shouldn't have to talk to me about that because you are in the school business, I'm not. But then when I think about when we're talking about the salary study and how much money we have to give to get people to stay, well, if part of that, and of course I have to think about the same thing in my own business. So if part of that's not the money, if it's other issues, then that's the type of thing I would want to think about in how we address the budget.
I can give my general assessment over 4 years in terms of teacher contact. I would say that a lot of teachers tell me that they're really uncomfortable kind of coming to us and speaking to us about salary. They worry about sort of line of command and speaking out of turn. But, you know, for people that I am like socially closer with, obviously those guards are down and it comes up far more frequently. I think the salary study itself speaks to the absolute, not perception, of differences. And when we lose people to other divisions, generally they're getting, it may not be the only reason they leave if they've had an experience like you're discussing, but they are seeing remarkable increases in their lifelong wages. And so certainly that's a factor. And as it relates to that, you know, issues like the one you addressed, so prior to COVID, I'm not sure we'd ever hear of a situation in which, in your hypothetical, we'll say, because we're not allowed to talk about individual cases, a hypothetical of a student threatening a teacher. That's something that we just, honestly, is just so out of bounds and such an outlier that it is a symptom of a broader disease as it relates to the time that students have been out of school and just general mental health issues. And having a coordinator to help triage and tell us what our demands are, and that's a line item in our budget, is the first step in finding ways to remedy that. Now, with regards to teachers indicating I have an issue or I'm not feeling heard, they generally will come to a board member. I get infrequent, we'll say, phone calls where teachers want to vent or want me to intervene or ask about process, but it is not my broad perception that we have a support vacuum. So I believe in our administration. I believe that Dr. Gretz has done a good job and team of when we have situations where people aren't feeling listened to, that we get to the root cause and we come up with policies in a way that we can remedy them.
Thank you. And my second question, there are people listening who say all the time, and I know you all get this time after time, and I've heard you all answer it, but for those who are listening in, when people say, wait a minute, they're looking for that much more money, and after the whole COVID thing, they, you know, didn't have to be at school as much, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you all hear that with some frequency, don't you? Because I would think so. People discussing how during COVID, there are people in the community who believe that during COVID, the responsibility of the educators was less burdensome than when they were in schools.
I think I might parry with statistics related to, and I don't have them on me, but I'm happy to furnish them, just the sheer amount of teachers who have left the industry, who have left their calling, who have retired early because of the insurmountable burden of trying to educate students through a little Zoom window. And our operational costs really didn't decline all that much. You know, what did we save? A little bit of gas here and some lights on here and there, but buildings still have to operate and be controlled. And we had remarkable increase in cost as it relates to technology and other infrastructures. And to be honest, even with those, you know, it's remarkably difficult, and we're seeing the impact on the students' education now as we start to see new benchmarks and tracking as it relates to student development. So I understand that there could be sticker shock related to this. I'd like to pass the buck some odd generations back, or at least boards back, for not keeping up with our lowest paid employees, but COVID really didn't, you know, ground our buildings to a halt or stop teachers from doing the work. It only increased demand and temporarily offset with federal funds.
Thank you.
Good answer. Okay. Anyone else want to talk about their budget? Social services, you're okay, Kim?
That's a leading question.
I put her on the spot. That's
she's got that
nice
one outlier
spot.
Employee.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add to our budget presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Kim? If not, Sheriff. No, Sheriff. You have anything?
Ma'am, I think the only thing that was really cut, wasn't it, when you cut one vehicle, which we can make that work.
Mm-hmm. We did talk about school buses last week as well, too. And I think Mike left you.
Well, I mean, I brought up school buses because I don't want us to be where we're at a glut of school buses that 20 years from now we have to replace. And I think we bought 13 last year. And what's that?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, we paid for 10 in the CIP, the big loan that we took, whatever you want to call it. And then I think y'all bought 3, and then I look on there and there's 5 this year. How many buses is it that we have to run the daily routes? Is it 66 or 68?
Honestly, I don't have that.
I know I'm asking you questions. You're not going to be able to answer. Yeah, I know you can. And you know,
there's a replacement schedule that.
And that's the thing I've been getting after for 4 years is get to, we know we're going to have to pay for 4 buses a year. Mm-hmm. And this stuff of us, you know, 13 here, and I know there's other ones that y'all bought with your money. They were used buses and things of that nature. I think we're getting a whole lot of buses at one time, and that scares me for 20 years down the road when somebody else is sitting in this chair. And hopefully I'm over there fussing them and telling stories. But anyway, I don't want them to have to deal with the same problems that we've had to deal with, if we can correct those.
What I would like to do is to be able to bring to this board that schedule, that replacement mm-hmm. schedule, so you can see what that looks like 20 years from now. Right. With all those.
Yeah.
I just don't have that.
Right.
I do think you're right. About 67, 84 in the fleet, about 67.
Right. Yeah. And but I mean, that leaves us 18 spare buses.
Yeah, and we've seen that schedule. We've seen that schedule before. You've had that schedule.
Sure.
Do you look at the years, or do you look at the mileage? Do you look at how much maintenance is on the bus that you replace? You may not replace them because it's 20 years old.
if he has
I've driven buses that were 34 years old. There's one person in the fleet that has driven, or in the workforce, that's driven buses longer than me, mm-hmm. and she was driving buses when I was going to school.
Yeah.
And they talked her into coming back. That's Miss Margaret.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, that was my first job with the county. In 1987, I signed a contract to drive a school bus. But like I said, we're in a situation now where we can't have any fluff anywhere. And I'm not trying to second guess, but I also have to say what I think it needs to be corrected or needs to be done. And I don't see us getting to a schedule where we're now, it's five this year, it's five next year, it's three the year after that, three the year after that. You know, we may go to three a year. But like I said, we're going to come to a cycle that we're going to have to replace 25 in a three-year span. Because I think the year before we bought six. So, I mean, that's 20 in 2 years.
If I may, I'll take it as a personal action item to chat with the administration and Don, who I would fondly call our bus czar, as it relates to all things CIP. I know that when we went through those replacements in the last couple of years here, we had a number, somewhere between 15 and 20 maybe, that were well over the replacement cycle. They were in the 25-year to 30-year span. They were pretty old buses that just really weren't conforming with standards. And so we are remarkably thankful for that replacement cycle and will loop back in terms of providing what do we need to smooth that curve so that we're at parity.
That's the biggest reason I bring it up is so that we don't get to where we're having to pay $1.3 million or $1.4 million for buses. You know,
but the thing
it's
is,
bad enough when we pay $400,000 or $500,000.
Well, I think the example you gave was, or suggested was, instead of spending the $110,000 in a bus, why aren't we fixing the track field or something like
well,
that?
Well, I mean,
you know, from a
like
CIP
I said,
standpoint,
I've said the whole time, when we buy lumps like this, they're all going to come do it at the same time. And that's the thing I fuss at the fire department about sometimes. You know, we get heated with one another, not in here, but, you know, we have good discussions because we can spend our way into being broke real quick.
But the thing is, you have to go back and look at the history. I mean, we may be in the predicament we are in now because we couldn't afford to replace a lot of buses. And
you could always afford it, but chose not to.
No. We chose not to.
Thing we've ever done as far as replacing buses was they came and asked for six, we paid for three, and then we allowed them to keep money at the end of the year to buy three more.
But they
We've ever, ma'am, I understand that.
Yeah, that's what happens. You don't replace them, then they...
I'm so glad you're explaining that to me. I take it back. I'm lying. I am not the only person that's ridden a school bus to Florida.
No,
my daddy drove the school bus.
So I had an assistant bus driver that drove with me to Orlando twice.
I have history. My father drove the school bus through Barry County for 45 years.
Absolutely, ma'am.
He did. I'm not lying.
No.
So this isn't in this budget.
What did I say? You correct?
Huh?
Five buses.
Yeah. But what are you proposing
I'm just asking it.
But you're not proposing a change for this budget, are you?
Well, he's questioning the judgment of the, school board.
I'm not trying to say questioning their judgment.
Prioritizing that.
But they don't have to sit on our side of the table and pay for it.
Right. And your point is,
and 20 years from now, they are probably not going to be sitting over here having to replace them.
Right.
When it's now $200,000 to buy a bus, and you got a $2 million bus, or excuse me, 13 of them, $2.6 million just to buy buses.
History speaks a lesson. Let's go back and do the history and find out where the flaw was.
And the other
they asked for three, and the board says, no, we're not, you know.
I will guarantee you it's when the economy went belly
right,
up.
In 2008.
And nobody bought any buses for 5 or 6 years. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think we've ever gone a year without buying multiple school buses since I've been on their board.
How far can y'all go back? I don't
think. Well, Mr. Dahl can go back.
Go back far, just have to go get the data and bring it to
me. Yeah. Like I said, these are just thought processes. I want people to make sure they understand that they got to be replaced. You know,
I mean, I know there are some after recession times that the CIPs were skinny.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
The buck stops here at this board. A lot of times.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of CIP, real quickly, can you just go back to the out years?
No, Jay.
I mean, obviously we got the 11 million, but I want to see like 2026.
I told the school board to cut.
So 6.9, 5.8, 5.9, 7 million.
The reason I'm on the board.
I don't know the gentleman. It was a joke. It's just what's
been our average?
I don't know him at all.
Do we have anything that shows the average CIP spend?
I do.
Well, I mean, I can tell you right now.
Inflation adjusted.
We got it right here.
Yeah, that's it.
What's that?
We got one of the years right there.
When they killed 1.2.
The county administrator wanted 68 cents to be the tax rate. Tax rate came back at 59.81 or 0.5981 the year before we got here.
Mm-hmm. 2012.
You didn't have to tell me. I can point to it right there.
I have 90.
That's one of them. But anyway.
I remember that year.
What happens.
Mm-hmm. We were all scarred.
Or was it after you?
Listen.
School board had to cut.
That's a joke.
$4 million, $5 million.
All right, guys.
So, go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Just to the commissioner's budget, and I'm only going to follow Mr. Dahl had brought up. We're going out. We're basically being pushed into a corner to do a transition on the software, and it'll be on a subsequent meeting. We think maybe the 15th or a little later. But in moving in that direction, our software that we are, our real estate database is maintained on. We're going to do a transition to a company that bought them out. It's going to be a new Windows cloud-based software. And unfortunately, I'm still going to be here when that happens, so we have to do it. In doing that, Mr. Dahl pointed out, our budget, the commission budget, is going to decline as we effectively lateral the money that we've used for Stonewall technology and for our VAMINET support. We think what we have to do is put it in the IT budget. So as we're leaning forward, lowering my budget by the respective amount of money that be moved over to the IT budget, anticipating that y'all will give us the additional funds to purchase and then convert the software that we have to do. It's not a huge ask, and it's either do it now or we'll have to do it later when they tell us the company that we're migrating to bought the company that we use now. And they aren't going to support it, but, so my only point is that we will be back and whenever Mr. Dahl has the opportunity to get us on the agenda to ask for the money to make that transition. Not a big ask. It's $75,000 in the grand scheme of things to manage your $3.5 billion tax base. So my budget will actually, as Mr. Dahl said, come down considerably. It's only like $40,000, and I'm going to take 12 out of it. So I'm looking pretty good. I've got a 25% decline in my budget.
That's up for discussion.
But we'll have to lateral that into the IT guys. That's the only thing I wanted to say is, let me put it this way. If y'all take that money, if we make this change, which we have to, and I certainly support, and then we aren't able to purchase that software, if the decision is not to do that, I'm going to immediately ask you to move $12,000 back into my budget that we are taking out.
Y'all heard that, right?
Or we won't have VAMINET or a real estate database to manage your tax base with. So,
gotta have that.
Just a little logistics there. Unfortunately, we have to make these monetary changes to our budget before y'all are able to receive and hopefully approve this purchase. Is that a fair statement, Mr.
Yeah.
Dahl?
Yeah, I mean, there's a $75,000 CIP request. It's in the CIP. What I would probably recommend is when the contract comes forward, if the board so chooses, approve the CIP, and then again, we've got the maintenance costs already baked into this budget as it stands right now. If the board says we don't want to fund the CIP, and what I would probably recommend, just due to a timing issue, I would probably just say fund that $75,000 CIP request out of the current fiscal year general fund.
The only two additions to that, the basic $75,000, and that is Air Citizenry has gotten very comfortable with VAMINET. They offer a similar option to make it available to the public. And secondly, and maybe more importantly, to manage the data on the cloud for us as opposed to us having to manage it on a separate server here in the county. Again, we'll come back to you, but we have to unfortunately put the cart before the horse with the budget in hopes that it's approved probably in the 1st of April or not. So there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, the other did have some news today on, remember, 3 years ago we got our first SRO on a grant. So that ran out this year. We found out the other day that we can reapply and get that money again. Mm-hmm. So we did that today, mm-hmm. as well as the two that we picked up this year. Right. So hopefully, I guess there must have been money left over out of that original SRO grant, and then there's money left over, and they said you can reapply. So we did.
When do you find out?
Usually it'll come back before the budget's over.
Good. And Dr. Gray, one thing I didn't, we have one at Central now also. Mm-hmm. I see the one at Carisbrook every day when I drive it, but
two at the high school and then one at each other. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Indeed.
Okay, anything else, board members?
Brian, what was that number again? Before you went from spending an average of $75,000 to
$350,000? For the first 3 years that I've been here, which was about 2017, 2018, we were allocated about $75,000 from the Office of Children's Services for this one budget line. Again, for children, it's providing community-based services for children that are eligible for special education. This past year, there's been a significant increase in behavioral mental health needs of the students that in our schools. And what's helped with that is that they had staff that's been able to identify some of these needs. The problem that comes up though is that there isn't really the mental health structure that's present, counselors, family support specialists and whatnot, it's very anemic at best. And so they have to come out, they have to look at other sources, and the other sources typically tends to be our CSA program. So when they bring these students for us to look at, we have to use that budget line. This year, instead of $75,000, we're projected to spend approximately $325,000. That comes from a small pool of money, about $3 million that is provided by the state to use for this what's called wraparound funding for the entire state, for all 130 localities. We're about to use 9% of that state pool. Our small little county is in competition with other large counties that use this. I think there are only a few counties that use it more than we do, including Fairfax County, Arlington, the city of Richmond. This is who we're competing with, because we do not have, we really need to invest in the mental health infrastructure that's present in our schools, not only in terms of number of staff, but also how they're being compensated. Right now, it is extremely competitive out there for licensed mental health professionals. This is something I hear from a lot of my vendors and my providers, and I'm in regular contact with practically every private mental health agency within a 50 mile radius of Levanna County, as well as our community services board, who's also struggling to maintain staffing, because they're not being adequately compensated. It's highly competitive out there. So not only do we have to consider the number of staffing that are being provided for these school mental health positions, but also how much they're being compensated, because you are because they are competing with these private mental health agencies that are willing to pay a higher, that are willing to pay a higher salary, that are willing to provide certain other auxiliary or ancillary benefits that make that position much more lucrative, much more appealing. But the first step that we need, that needs to be there, is the money that needs to be funding from the, or provided to the schools to actually build that infrastructure. And what the schools providing or proposing this year is a very good start with that. But I would encourage the board to consider that this is only a first step, that the, that there will probably be second steps are in the next year, the year following, that are built off all this, that allows these, this mental health system to be much more to be developed, become much more robust in our schools, which will have other indirect impacts: reduced amounts of disciplinary referrals, reduced amounts of truancy, reduced amounts modest improvements to various measures of academic performance, because they don't have to worry so much about what's going on outside the home or just inside their own heads.
So it sounds like you're saying that when you compare it to the other school systems, in other words, we're our dip into that is bigger than the other, than most other school systems.
You would be correct.
So it sounds like you're saying that if we funded greater with the schools towards that piece, that your funding should go down.
That is the hope.
It's just a transfer from one budget to another. Yeah.
All right.
But I would say that CSA doesn't only service that student, they service the family. They give the mother, the father, whoever, they get counseling, they get whatever they need. So they, it's when in the schools, what the schools can service the kids. When they come to us, go to FAP and come to us, they need more services. The whole family needs services. So that's the, it's,
I hear you, but he was saying that comparing to other counties, that their dip of that, our dip of that money is a bigger portion, and it was in part because their school systems had better support, for lack of a better term. So in his comparison, that says that their CSA spend, or some of their CSA needs, are less because they fund it better in the schools. Yeah.
I mean, if it's in the school budget and it's being funded properly for then that's $250,000. It's not going to come out of his budget.
Well, right. Well, but that $250,000 that comes from a state. Brian, you talked about a portion. That's right, because we got to pay our share. Yep. You talked about we can't hire people because we're competing with private companies. Mm-hmm. Private people, correct?
That's one of the reasons.
Okay.
There's also an overall dearth of less mental health professionals.
Correct. And the point I was going to get at is those private companies, when they're getting paid, the people are getting the services, and then they're sending the bill to who to pay it? They're probably not writing a check themselves.
When
the private companies provide the service, mm-hmm. I'm going to imagine that people aren't just coming in there and writing checks or paying in cash, because we're talking about...
Actually, a lot, the amount of share, or the share of revenue that's coming from that private agencies are receiving, is coming straight out of pocket expenses. Not because health insurance, not because insurance companies aren't paying fully, there's a small measure of that, but also because more and more care is being provided to families that have that extra income to be afford being able to pay out of pocket.
Okay, because I was sitting here thinking to myself that a lot of times they're going to not only send it to insurance, but you're talking about Medicare, and it will be federal programs that they'll be able to get aid to come from.
Not so much. In fact, there are agencies that are pulling out of, declaring that they will not be Medicaid providers or Medicare providers.
Because they can make so much money elsewhere.
Right, and I think one of the other things that hasn't been mentioned, I think the sheriff would attest to that, is that, you know, it's sort of the problems that are identified with students in schools, if they're not addressed, the situation tends to get worse and worse. And oftentimes, people end up in the criminal system. That these kids end up, you know, getting into trouble and getting, you know, referred to the criminal system in many cases. And so there's a cost that's being transferred over from, you know, not taking care of the problem to taking, you know, over into other areas of poor services. I know Ryan used to say that. I'd be curious what your thoughts are.
It definitely reflects, you know, when you know, the more interaction you have with the kids and the more they learn, like the classes they put on at the school and stuff, you know, they gain the knowledge of what's right and wrong. And I think if we go back to the basics, a lot of people aren't getting that, the young kids aren't getting that, the right of what's right and what's wrong at home. I mean, social media surely doesn't help them at all.
Right. When you have 9 and 10 year olds walking around with cell phones, yeah, that is not a good situation to be in.
No, absolutely.
And you know, it's about building relationships when you're talking about that.
How many healthcare professionals, I mean, mental health care professionals, would you need for the schools? You're saying for the schools.
Are you directed to me?
No.
Or to Brian? Sorry.
Yeah. That's really not my decision. That's something that the schools would have to determine.
Could I provide some clarity on this a little bit, at least from the school perspective? So, we have had difficulty filling positions over the last couple of years, and I hope my team here will interrupt me if I misspeak at all. It's my understanding that we had the budget for 2 additional counselors this year that we could not fill. It's my understanding that we have had a school psychologist line item, 1 or 2, for the last couple of years that we could not fill.
3. 3,
excuse me, thank you. And to be clear, part of that is because the current base salary that we were willing to pay for that was $50,000, and that is adjusted and alleviated to some end through the revisions that we've asked for. And we have some behavioral specialists in the school as well. What we've asked for in this budget, because in a really honest, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but a really honest conversation with the superintendent to say, I'm hearing all of these things. So I'm getting all the symptoms and the reports. We're seeing the behavior. What do we need to fix it? Like, what is it that we need? What can I go and advocate for? And a very genuine Pete Gretz answer was like, I'm not sure we know enough to know enough yet. And so what we've put into this request is for a mental health coordinator. I think the line item is $100,000. I'm hopeful that we can attract some talent that can help us organize, assess, figure out, prioritize, and then be able to come back and report to you all in future budgets what we might need to help address this. I mean, we used to have Region 10 day programs in schools where students were able to get some of their care on site. Because, you know, we take students as they are and then we return them back home. But what happens in our building is a function of all of the things that happened in the ether, which have gotten darker and more difficult over the last couple of years. But I'm hopeful by funding that coordinator position that we can go and hire somebody who's far more qualified than any of us in this room to assess what our needs are and to ultimately come up with a plan to alleviate not only the symptoms that we're seeing, which is the behavior, but fundamentally the disease that the students are suffering from. Thank you for your time.
I felt like there's maybe a little something different in your question. Did that answer your question? When you asked the original question about...
How many?
Yeah.
Well, as I understood what you were talking about, you said you wanted to hire someone to organize this?
A coordinator position.
Coordinator.
So we do have vacancies this year in counselors. We just can't hire them. The same has been the case for psychologists and for social workers. We've had to triage and do our best to find people who can support the students but don't actually play those exact functions. Mm-hmm. We've had to outsource some of our services. Anything you want to add in terms of vacancies or capacity to fill student health needs?
Yeah, I mean, we're contracting out for school psychologist services to do our testing, and they do it virtually. and then we have a person that sits in with the student while they're being tested, but that is not an ideal situation, particularly when you're testing a younger student that would need the direct interaction with someone. It's our goal with the compensation that we can be able to fill some of these vacant positions that we have.
And you spoke about Region 10. Do they not come and help anymore?
The funding that they had for that particular program got cut. Uh-huh. It was an issue across the state.
It was not our cut.
No, it was TDT workers. Right. It got cut out of the state budget years ago, and it was never put back.
What TDT?
Therapeutic day treatment.
Okay. Yeah. We used to have two or three of them in the middle school, mm-hmm. in each school, mm-hmm. that were, when a kid was going off, they would go find them and work with them to bring them back down.
Mm-hmm. And this is all very well said. I appreciate the comments, Brian. I would just add, so that what we're trying to accomplish in this budget that we've requested is a coordinator level position that would both help organize the services that we do have and the services that are available in the county, aren't necessarily schools, but are available. and somebody coordinating that has a mental health background that knows how to do that. But also that person, our intention is for that person to be able to work directly with students. It is a coordinator level position, and the $100,000 includes benefits, our best guess of what the benefits would be. But
is that in your budget?
Yes.
Okay. Last year, with what this board provided to us, we were able to advertise for an additional counselor at Carysbrook Elementary, which is desperately needed, and an additional one at the high school. And we're grateful for that. We haven't been able to find them. Haven't been able to. There's, as Brian said, there's a shortage of people. I do think that compensation has something to do with it, but there's also a very small pool of them.
I can tell you, when I go to my state meetings and talk to other supervisors, and I listen to Fairfax, I listen to Loudoun, Henrico say the exact same things that we're saying.
Yeah.
We better start figuring out how to sell the profession of teaching and getting people back involved, or we're going to be facing worse and worse problems as we go down the road. And this is what I've told to those guys at the state level. You know, all kids ever hear is you don't want to do this. And we better find people that like what they do, enjoy what they do, and start advertising with them so that these people will come and want to do it.
Yes. With that said, though, and I don't disagree with you, while before you said that, the thing I was thinking is, I mean, even those professional positions, you can't even account for where they're at. I mean, mm-hmm. be it a waitress or a person for my business or the counselors, how we have the advertised low unemployment rate we have, but nobody knows where this black hole is that everybody's...
People not going into the profession.
They're not going into anything. I mean, you can't. Nobody's finding, but except our unemployment rate is low.
It's the same thing happening with the state mental health hospitals. They're understaffed. One day last week, we had an ECO turn into a TDO. They said, take them to Western State. We got to Western State. They said, oh, we don't have a bed. You need to go to Bristol. So, you know, we went from an hour and a half drive to 700 hours. One way. So, you know, those are the kind of things we're running into, and they keep saying we don't have the staff. We don't have the nurses. We don't have the mental health people. It's a state shortage for sure. I wouldn't doubt it if it were the national.
But we have a surplus. But
like Chris says, I don't know where people are working.
and not to be dramatic or to prolong anything, but I mean, we have situations where there are individuals with suicidal ideations and their families and the service workers are working, they can't find a place for them. They take them to the emergency room, and the emergency room's not trained, and they send them home. And the next morning, they're at school.
Mm-hmm. Come and talk to the PE teacher. Literally.
Dealing with those kids.
But you know, you really, you have to give credit to your... Abrams Academy has done some saving for this county. They saved a lot of kids.
All right.
Ms. Gillum.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, please.
2000, Well, when schools were cut.
1.2 million.
Was it 1.2? I thought it was more than that.
Maybe it was more. I thought it was more than 1.2.
It was like 2 million.
A lot.
Well, now like 1, 2 million.
3 million.
4 million?
4 million.
Do you remember?
Yeah. 2 hours before budget.
Well, it was a lot.
The number like 2.5 million pops in my head.
I believe it's 7 cents on the tax rate.
In 2012.
What they took off, 7 cents on the tax rate.
Here, you're there.
Yeah.
Make it sit kind of.
Yeah. Right. Which, you know, is, I highlight that because, you know, they're asking for $2.5 million. And even though I think the board has done a lot to at least maintain and get back on track, It doesn't sound like we've met the challenge to its full extent. Now, I did a little bit of research, which is why I had my head buried in the phone. And well, first I would say that Brian's point of $250,000 more that's being spent in his department is really just a reallocation. So I would frankly argue that that's $250,000 that we should automatically be giving to the schools, in my opinion. Louisa County, the average real estate tax that people pay is $1,270. Fluvanna County is $1,193. Orange County is $1,340. Albemarle is $2,219. Spotsylvania is $1,668. Green is $1,261. Culpeper is $1,788. And Madison is $1,169. So other than Madison being the lowest, we're the second lowest in terms of what we pay in terms of taxes. Then I would bring the board's attention back to the fact that the inflation-adjusted rate of Fluvanna County would be about $2, right? So I know that these decisions are tough when we come in and we say, gosh, should we be raising or, you know, and I think the ask is enormous. I mean, I don't think we've ever done $2.5 million.
We've never done over 1.5.
Yeah, I think it's an enormous ask. But on the other hand, if you put it in a historical context, and having just heard everything that we're hearing, we are falling behind. And so sometimes we have to just take that leap of faith and just say, okay, you know, let's be competitive, let's be right on. And even if we do that, I bet you, we'll still be the second lowest tax rate that you're paying for real estate here. Because every board is facing these same decisions here.
You gotta mention that, and it's not that big of a factor, but Louisa has the nuclear power plant. I mean, that's a factor in what they pay.
What I'm saying is, even with that factor, right? I mean, this is, and Louisa has other, they have businesses, and you know, they collect $7 million from Zion's Crossroads. The tax that somebody, the average homeowner, pays in Louisa County for their home is $100 more than the tax that somebody pays here, right? That's my point. It's not the rate. I'm not talking about the rate. The average, what the average person pays for a real estate tax. We are the second lowest. I didn't include Buckingham. Because Buckingham just a total outlier, right?
You know? Well, I don't know where you got your numbers from.
Virginia Tax Rate Org right here. I do a link.
Well, I'll just tell you, I bought that 50 acres of land, and I paid more than that on 50 acres of land with no house.
Oh, well, you should talk to your commissioner about that.
I tried to sell him my old 2003 truck one time, and he asked me for a price. I said $4,200. He said, "Boy, you done lost your mind. Where'd you get that value from?" I said, "You. That's how much you told me it was worth when you sent me the tax bill."
Mel said it's time to go.
We've had a good discussion. If anybody, and we can get out of here at a reasonable time.
I make a motion to adjourn. You ain't got to tell me twice. I'm obedient. Mel wants to put me anyway.
Next week, we have to set the tax rate in the budget.
Right.
Yeah. And so,
the highest tax rate.
Unless we plan on doing a quick slam through and putting a budget together, I mean, I'm not sure where we're going right at this point.
Go back to the other one.
Other one what?
You said we had 800,000 extra.
It's right there.
Right there.
What is it you feel like is missing? Do we want to put a tax rate in?
Well, I mean, we've got 862,000 in excess. I mean, we don't have a balanced budget right now.
Right.
I mean, unless we plan on in an hour and a half next week knocking out a budget and getting this balance down to zero, and that's the budget and that's the max that we're going moving forward, we don't have, I mean, Plus, the board is perfectly happy with where CIP is right now and everything else. I don't feel that we've got a budget that's ready to go unless there's something.
We'll go back to the tax rate.
I don't think I can answer.
I'm going to say.
Put in 84.
Make sure.
Okay.
Pardon me. I'm terribly sorry.
And just see where it takes us to.
77.
No, she got to keep on going.
Yeah, but those don't drop very much, I don't think.
And we still.
That would put us 62,000 in the hole.
We're short 62,000.
If we went to 84 as advertised, put 84.5.
100,000 in the hole.
No.
I mean, 100,000 up.
I was going to say, take a nickel off of personal property.
And that's
Did that not change? Yeah.
No, I didn't change your number there, pardon. Yeah.
14. That did not change for it.
What'd you do, 410?
No, it's just.
I just chose lowered it in the nickel.
Yeah, right. Wait, go back, okay.
Go back, go to this, go to here.
I mean, it's going to put us 30,000, 38,000 below.
D61.
I'll say we just pull that from you.
No, I'm not going to vote for that budget, I can tell you that. I mean, I like I just said, we are paying the least amount in real estate, and we've just heard from multiple people out here that we're not meeting anything. So I'm not going to vote for that budget.
Okay.
That's just my vote, yeah.
That's your choice.
Absolutely. And again, I think this is shopping for a rate as opposed to meeting a rate.
I'm looking. Yeah.
Well, anyway, if we decrease in a nickel, that's going to be an extra 170,000 roughly.
166.
Go back
to 40,000.
So that's at 415 right now. I mean,
well,
so
just put 415 back in.
Just put 415 back in. We have to figure out why that's up. So again, if we took away, that's taken away 170, so we're about 40 some thousand in the hole.
I don't know.
It would be useful for the next meeting to have to the degree available the projected tax rates that other counties are doing and where we stand as far as that goes too.
The projected, yeah. I mean, I can see what I mean. I think most localities right now are keeping their tax rate. I know.
Louisa is.
I think Louisa is. I just saw on the news. This, I mean, not that we're a huge comparison with the city of Charlottesville, but they're keeping their tax rate
where it is. Right, they're not equalizing.
They're not equalizing, and no. Yeah. Well, they have to equalize,
right,
but they're not bringing their rate down in comparison with it. Correct.
Right, and again, I think that's just useful to understand. Because I think.
So we might have to wait another 15.
Yeah, well, we're not voting on anything tonight.
I'm just putting
numbers out there to equalize it.
Yeah, next Wednesday we have to get this budget down to zero, and we have to have something to advertise.
Right. We don't know what the state's doing. We don't.
We won't.
We're not going to know before we. I mean, so again, right now, I mean. We don't have the 2% in for county staff. That if that comes forward,
well, the 2% would be covered into 122, almost, right?
Pretty close.
Yeah. Well, and right,
I'm finding stuff left and right now.
Whatever the state does is going to impact all the localities as well too. So it's kind of neutral. So, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm just trying to put that number to zero.
Well, I know. I mean, it's easy to do that, right? You just drop the rate that you want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we want to be low, but is there something that we're looking to be at, or is there?
I'd be afraid to say.
Again, I think we want to be competitive with surrounding counties. You know, other counties are not doing what we're doing. Our rate has come down. We're no longer the highest. But again, the rate is a relationship to the value of the property. We're the second lowest. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
What do you think the average house in Blue Valley is?
It's, I think, 270,000 is what they say.
270,000.
Right. So, but again, that's the average price for each locality. So the reason Albemarle is $2,000 is because the average price is considerably higher. So,
you know. I just don't think those numbers are right.
Well, I will send you the link.
Okay. You can send me the link, but I'm just, I pay more.
more debt both times.
Sign
up the link. I'm not a millionaire.
Well, let me go back to CIP, because that can change the total budget number. Is the budget that I propose, I mean, is that basically fine from the board's standpoint?
There are things I want to talk to you about between now and next Wednesday.
Okay.
I mean, it's in the general realm.
Okay.
So if we're stuck, I mean, do we go ahead and wait till the 15th? That's okay?
We can. We have an hour and a half to do it.
Huh?
I would like to put the $250,000 in for the schools that comes out of Brian's budget. Not out of his budget, but he's spending already.
It's passed through.
Which is going to be basically less than a penny, three quarters of a penny.
Six, plus two. Now we're 127 short.
And I would advocate for the full 2.6 in my opinion. So.
Okay, the 2.6 exchange.
Which would put us at about 85 cents if we did that and didn't do anything else.
I'm just not there to vote for that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that's...
All right, you said 270,000 is the average price per house in Savannah County. Well, I just did 87 cents. It's $23.49.
I'll send you the link.
I'm not going to call them up. I'm just telling you. Whatever they wrote down is wrong. If the average house is $270,000. I mean,
can you have that chart for us?
Well, again, this is 2022. And the values just went up, right?
With the property.
It's 2022.
You said 270.
We got the chart.
Yeah, let's see the chart that you...
The household per penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, so, again, we're right here. So if the board goes up to... let's say you're at 84, that's a 250,000 house, a $163 annual charge increase.
Median, probably. Median, not average. So there's a difference between median and average.
Okay, say that again, Eric, because we had two
people. So our equalized rate is 77.5. If the board said we want to go to 84, because that's what's just plugged in there right now, that's $163 annual increase for a property for on $250,000.
Okay, and you used to break it down monthly.
Well, we just divide that by 12.
$13.54.
Right. I see.
You probably need to have the monitors in front of you all next time too.
Right. Oh yeah, that will help. Okay.
Right. And again, to remember, we're going to be at the Performing Arts Center too, so it's going to be.
Yeah. It's just worth looking at.
Okay, so we'll have our little monitors.
I don't think they get all the states wrong.
So, Boyd, what do you want to do? Do you want to go ahead? You want to wait until the 15th? What do you mean from Eric? I'm sorry, go ahead.
The rate that you changed, that's not what we're the end.
No.
Is it next week?
Next week, you have to come up with the rate.
With the rate that's the highest. Right.
We have to have a budget that is balanced at zero.
Mm-hmm. At zero, yeah. Okay.
With all the tax rates that are going into that.
Yeah.
And the CIP and everything.
With the advertised rate that we have, 86.5, we had a surplus of $870,000.
Yeah, put it back to 86.5, Tori, if you would, please.
Well, it would be 876 now, because you put 250, it would be 600.
Right, only 600, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. No, I think if you had like 85 cents, you'd probably be right at that with the 250. Put in full 600. Put in the other 350,000 there. And
where
that's
are you putting
penny.
That? I can't see.
So you can go down 2 pennies right now, basically.
So you want me to add 350?
Just add, put 600 right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're gonna take it out at the end.
And then you can lower essentially another three quarter. You can go to 85 85.7 or something like that. Yeah, you'll probably be right up there. And where were we 2 years ago? 91 cents?
91.
91 cents.
And then we went to 87.
And what's that number in red?
That's the shortfall.
That's how much we're short right now of having a balanced budget.
If you did 85 cents.
If you did 85.
Anyhow, stuff that we can figure out next week, but I'd really like to see how we compare to the other counties as well, too, because I mean, at the end of the day, I
particularly agree with what they do.
But that's a benchmark where people that are looking for a place to live and they're saying, that Fluvanna County is expensive tax rate. Well,
so go
to Albemarle.
What was Albemarle's rate last year?
Their rate? I think it was 90.
It was high 80s.
80, I see where you're going with that, Tony, and I'm not opposed to seeing it. I mean, it would be interesting to look at, but that's really not a factor in what I think of when I think of where it should be. To me, it's just a matter of the math and on each line item, but I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, that's why I brought up the point earlier with the other counties, the big counties.
Taxes and the highest tax in Virginia is Fairfax, I think, is what they said. That's $6,000, basically.
What they pay?
Yeah, and that's median home, not average price.
Mr. Dahl?
Yep.
Does this include a 7% raise for the county or 5?
No. It's 5. I'm sorry, we just put it back to where it was because I don't think we heard clear consensus on where we're at.
Okay. So, I mean, it's the 15th. Is it?
I think we'll
anything?
Get that.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll get there. Nothing special. The same thing. We'll have it close by and we can see it. Okay. If there aren't any other concerns or questions, then we have a motion to adjourn.
So made.
Second, please.
Second.
All right.
Let them adjourn first.
I'm
made
sorry.
A motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor of adjournment.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.